We'll see what we can try tonight. A new, new show, new topic. Something fresh. So I'll share with you a assortment of different shilas. I think it'll be pretty obvious fairly quickly what the gist of the shila is. And then we'll try to again. Here's on the record. We'll try to get a little bit of a better understanding about this. It has become a very, very common area of halacha that modern times unheard of until several generations ago, and today it's become almost like every topic in area for shayla. This past year, so our Pesach was Chalios on Shabbos. So there was one individual who, strangely enough, had a paskin for him. It was a whole shayla about whether you're allowed to eat matzah, when the issue of matzah applies, does it apply in the day of Erev Pesach, does it apply the night before, from Rosh Chodesh, before, an argument. So there was one individual who had a paskin, Lamaisa, that he was the chuyuf, could even have Torah, to eat matzah on Friday night. You know, the first day was technically with the Shabbos. I told him not only is it permitted to eat matzah, but in Chodesh, and maybe a Shabbos deraisa, he's mechuyif to matzah on Friday. Right? Whether we want the religion over here, where'd that come from? Hanging, that's one shabbat. She was a different shabbat, a totally different person, different story, different scenario, different place. Anyone ever heard of the famous coral reef? From the coral reefs? Off the coast of Australia. A person called me that they wanted to visit the coral reef. And they wanted to go on Sunday morning to go see the coral reef. They told me that I'll go. The Shabbat, the Vinisa, go to the coral reef. I'm going on Monday, I'm going on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, that's fine. But on Sunday, you're not going on Sunday morning to go see the coral reef off the coast of Australia. Everybody wondering, what's the rabbit to? What's he getting to? The wheels are probably starting to turn already. They're riddled. Give me a situation where you have 5 days in a row with this nis of halacha. I don't mean rich fakish for women, I don't mean avoid. I mean Shabbos Yom Tov, fermentation, 5 days in a row, there's potential nis of halacha. Okay, so who here knows what we're talking about? Obviously, come on. No, come on.
Crossing the daylight?
Yes, obviously, there's a daylight Shabbos. All three of the Shilas are international daylight Shilas. So let's see if we can, before we can tackle all these convoluted, complicated applications of the big line, let's just get a little bit of a background as to what the Shabbos are about. So as I said, that until 100 years ago, nobody knew, nobody cared about date line. Nobody was traveling at such speeds the way they're traveling today. But there's not as that. So date line has become a major, major shift. So it's one of the strangest phenomena in Aloha, which would be a bizarre phenomena in Aloha. That 25% of the globe, one quarter of the entire world, we have no idea how many halacha there is. That mind-boggling. We have much no idea what there is. Now, the reason why nobody cared about that is because nobody ever lived there, nobody ever traveled there. The part of the world that we have absolutely no idea what it is happens to be all tucked away in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, where there's a couple of islands here and there. Which for the till 100 years ago, nobody, no Jew ever walked there. Nobody cared about it, and therefore nobody has any shyness about it. But there is one quarter of the globe that we do not know what halacha is. How did that happen? Where did that come from? What in the world is flying? So you need a little bit of a combination, some science, a little Torah, some science, a little Torah, and halacha to understand what's going on. There's a basic fundamental issue that has to be dealt with in terms of determining what day of the week it is. Very, very simple. The world is round, and therefore there's a notion called time zones. Because the world is round, the sun is not hitting the same part of the world, the same angle at any given time. So, of course, as you are well aware of the fact that now it's 9 o'clock in Eretz Yisrael, it is 2 o'clock in the afternoon in America. Okay, it is, let's say, what time is it in England right now? England's how many hours behind us? I think 2 hours in England is 12 minutes. So I think it's 7 o'clock at night in England, it's 8 o'clock at night in the rest, pretty much the rest of Europe, it's 9 o'clock here, and as you go further east, it's going to be 10 o'clock, and I'm just throwing out a place, I don't say, or I would say, you know, if you go to Dubai for some strange reason, so I don't know what the time zone is. You know, Dubai went up, went out, it's 12 minutes, something like that. So it's going to be 10 o'clock there, and if you keep on going further east, then you make your way into India, so it's going to be 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, you keep on going, you're going to China, let's assume you never heard of the International Great Line, what's going to keep on going? You're going to keep on going east, weiter, you're going to hit into Hawaii, you're going to be next time, and you're going to keep on going east and east and east, and you're going to hit into New York, you're going to keep on going east and east and east, and you're going to hit into Eretz Yisrael, right after we started, right after maybe here. Now remember, when we started, it was 9 o'clock at night on what day of the week? On Sunday, right? Can you tell you Sunday? Sunday at 9 o'clock at night in Beit Meir. Whenever you go east, so you go an hour ahead. So if you're one time zone ahead, it's 10 o'clock at night, Sunday night, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, you're ready in the Monday. So let's say right now it's 9 o'clock here, but let's say place in China, it's 3 o'clock already, 3 a.m. on Monday. If you keep on going east, you keep on going east, keep on going east, and eventually you make your way around the circle, you're back in Beit Meir at exactly 9 o'clock at night, what day of the week? Monday night, right? Just logically, you just kept on going east. Every time you go east an hour, so you keep on going. So you just said 1 minute ago that it's 9 o'clock at night, Sunday night in Beit Meir, and the same breath you're telling me it's 9 o'clock in Beit Meir on Monday night, right? So that is impossible. Okay, there is no human being on the globe who would say such a silly thing, right? So how do you solve that problem? Logically, scientifically, that's what should happen. So the answer is, what's the answer, obviously?
Well, doesn't that depend on how long the traveling is?
No, I just want to know right now, I'm not going anywhere. I'm sitting here, 9 o'clock at night, it's Sunday night. I'm talking to somebody in Dubai, and they tell me it's 10 p.m. Talking to somebody in India, they tell me it's 12 a.m. Monday. I'm somewhere in China, they tell me it's 2 a.m. Monday. Talk to someone in Hawaii, they tell me it's 4 a.m. Talk to someone in L.A., they tell me it's 7 a.m. Monday, right? Keep on going. Go to Chicago, to New York, to France, to Greece. I come back to Beit Meir, and they tell me it's 9:12 on Monday night. How can it be 9:12 on Monday night if it's 9:12 on Sunday night? So the answer is obvious. Something has to happen. What must happen?
There's one spot.
Very good. There must be a spot in the world where the day changes. It has to be. It is impossible logically. The whole concept of time will disappear. The concept of days and times, the whole concept cannot exist unless there is some arbitrary spot on the globe where you say, Adkan Sunday, and now it's Monday. Or Adkan Sunday, and here it's Shabbos. So there's got to be one point where we say we have gone so far east that we're no longer going east anymore. We are now
west.
We're west. Okay? You pick where you want to draw that line. Where do you want to draw that line? You want to draw it in the middle of Beit Meir? Okay. You want to draw it in the middle of India? You want to draw it in the middle of England, America? You pick the line, wherever you want. Everyone agrees there has to be a line. So until 100 years ago, 20 years ago, so nobody they realized this, but nobody cared about it. No one was traveling that much, and no one was talking. You didn't have... I can't talk, there were no telegraphs, no telegrams, no, there were no phones, so it didn't really matter what time it was at any given place. No one thought of these convoluted scenarios. 20 years ago, all of a sudden, Musa Olam came to the realization that we have a big problem, and we have to set a line. So where do you set the line? If you were a guy, where would you set the line?
Middle of the ocean.
We know where there it is.
Middle of the ocean.
You want to set it as far away from you as possible. Because otherwise, if you set it in your backyard, then you have one guy on one side of the street is going to be Tuesday, and the other guy's going to be Wednesday, and that's going to be very silly, right? So you want this line as far away as you can possibly get from yourself. Who's setting up the line? Who's in charge? Who's running the world back in the yeah. Is that fine?
Yeah.
England, yeah, Europe, who was the most important country in Europe, is England. So England was in charge of everything. So England had this thing called Greenwich time. Greenwich is a city in England. That was like the time began and ended. Like they considered themselves to be the most important, the central part of the universe. So in Greenwich, they decided we're going to make this dateline somewhere. We're going to keep it as far away as possible from us. And what's the furthest possible point you can put it away? And the globe is 360 degrees. So simple math is stick it 180 degrees away from you. Then as far away from both sides as possible. which works out really, really nice because it was right smack in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, nobody lives anyway. So the English were very happy with that. The British, they solved the world's problems. They stuck in the middle of the Pacific Ocean and showed by Israel, and we don't want to hear from it anymore. That's pretty much what they did. And that's where the world went in the 1900s, and the world was great. Nobody really cared too much about it. All of a sudden, some post-Kim started to think, and they said, this dateline could potentially impact the halacha in a very serious way if anybody happens to be in one of these places. So lo and behold, by this time in history, it started out some Jews will find their way over to in the area of the Pacific. And now you have this unbelievable shaila. What day of the week is it? So you can take the following approach. You can take the approach, well, whatever the goyim say, that's the day of the week. Right? Could you say that? Does that sound right to you? Sounds very, very fun. They're very strange, right? Because Shabbos and Yontif, those are halakha, those are Torah concepts. Because some guy in Greenwich, England in the 1800s decided to stick a day on the wall of the city. That impacts me. Isn't there a halakha day one? Isn't there some place where the Torah draw? Again, there has to be a draw line. It's got to be a line somewhere. So doesn't the Torah draw this line?
When you say line, you mean like we go east, like we keep going hour and hour and hour.
And then at some point we say it's the day behind us.
And then it's like 7 hours behind.
No. But I say the thing I'm saying is that we say it's 9:15 here, 9 o'clock of the year, 10 o'clock for the east, 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock. I reach a point where I say that it's not 5 o'clock on Sunday, but rather that's the end, and now it's 5 o'clock on Saturday.
Right, according to that, like America would be ahead of us. As we keep going.
Well, right. It'll be ahead of us, right. So where do you draw this line? So it doesn't sound right to us that we should draw it arbitrarily, but the Goyim drew it. So there must be some kind of a source for this. So now the question becomes a multi-million-dollar question becomes, where's the source? Where do you draw this line? So you look at the Chumash, no mention. Look at the Tanakh, no mention. Look at Mishnayos, no mention. Look at the Gemara, maybe. There's a sugya in the Sefer Shoshana that maybe talks about this topic. The sugya is talking about the different topic of Kiddush HaChodesh, and according to some Rishonim, the Gemara actually addressed this issue.
Isn't that all going if like it's logical and you would do that also?
Okay. So we'll see in a second the issue about following the Goyish thing.
Well, it's not just following the Goyish thing. But then, are you saying that before they made that line, there was...
Right. It's not a question of Chukos Samuel, so it's not a question of wearing, you know, short jackets and, you know, not wearing, and wearing ties. It's not a question of following the Goyish. This is a question of, isn't the determination of the day of the week a halakhic concept? Shouldn't there be a halakhic source for that? So the Chazon Ish was a little ready. First half of the 1900s. The Chazon Ish was the biggest supporter of the following view. And he had some Rishonim who said this ready, way hundreds of years before him. But yes, there is, believe it or not, a halakhic dateline. And the halakhic dateline actually divides the world into four different quadrants. And Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael, is the beginning, so to speak, of the last of those quadrants. Some technical reason why that should be so. And therefore, since the globe, those are basically, the globe is 360 degrees around, so sort of 360 degrees around, says the Chazon Ish, if you go one quarter past Yerushalayim, you have reached the point of demarcation. That is the halacha dateline. That is the point, 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim. Anyone have any idea what that is, by the way? It runs through China, runs through Siberia, it runs through the tip, the very eastern end of Asia. Okay?
He got it from
the way Sefer Shalom wrote it, so Sefer Shalom. Now, the Gemara divides up the world into four different quadrants.
What's his name?
Chazon Ish didn't make it up, but Chazon Ish quotes Rishonim who say it, and he claims that's what the halacha is. What's about more? What's about leaving? He says, bizarre, you have such things. So according to Chazon Ish, the basic line of demarcation is that 90 degree mark. That's it. So now came the Chazon Ish and touches up Ishita a little bit. Says the Chazon Ish, according to what I'm telling you, that the dateline runs 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim, you have a bizarre situation. You have two people who are living across the street from each other in Siberia, two people across the street from each other in China. And for one of them, it's Tuesday, and for the other of them, it's Monday.
You just walk back
across the street, say Havdalah, and you know.
The Chazan says, he quotes a Mishnah who say, Lo Yitachin Mishnah Shalach. And that phrase, Lo Yitachin Mishnah Shalach, is called In Chokin Yavasha. It is inconceivable that the Torah and the Allah should split up a landmass in such a bizarre manner, that for one guy, Shabbos, the other guy, it's like, you can't move. Elohim, what do you do? Says the Chazan Ish, what you do is as follows. You draw your line 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim. We'll take China, okay? But instead of drawing a straight line right through the last quarter of China or so, the line zigzags a little bit and it hugs the coast of China. And anything that's on the mainland of China is batel to what came before it. And even though it's technically halachically past that line, a bidin we view it as being before the line. And basically, it's still the same day as Eretz Yisrael. It's a few hours ahead of Eretz Yisrael, rather than being a whole day behind Eretz Yisrael. So the Chiddush is two Chiddushim. Chiddush number one is, again, on his own solution, they said Mishnah. The sheet number one is that you draw the line 90 degrees, and then number two, which we have four, we can move forward over here. We have the marker. Is it the common word, right? What?
Yeah.
Then you have, this is the line of 90 degrees. This should be the official end, right? This should be the beginning of the, this should be the beginning of the new day, or the beginning of the previous day. This area, this 90 degrees, this is pretty much like what China looks like, all right? Well, further down south is what Australia looks like. Further up north, what Siberia looks like. Instead of the Chazan Ish, the dateline goes as follows. Follows the coast, hugs the coast, then goes into the ocean, hugs the coast, goes into the ocean, etc. So if it's, let's say, if it's Shabbos in Yerushalayim, let's say it's 10 o'clock at night in Yerushalayim, so it's still Shabbos here. It's obviously a few hours ahead, but if Shabbos here, Shabbos here, Shabbos here, etc. Where is it not Shabbos? Says the Chazan Ish. Let's say I got an island over here. I got an island over here. An island down over here. So once it's past the line, the game's over. It's not Shabbos. What day is it? It's actually when? What day of the week is it? Remember, we're an entire day behind. It's Friday.
So you could go swimming on Shabbos.
Wait. It's Friday. So what's that going to mean for us practically if it's Friday here? When is it going to be Shabbos? Now, remember, the Goyim, do not say this, because the international dateline of the Goyim is somewhere down here. Okay? So if you ask the people on these islands, what day of the week is it? But they're going to tell you it's Saturday. And yes, the Chazan Ish is going to say it's not Saturday, it's Friday. So when you ask the Goyim on Sunday, what day of the week is it? They say it's Sunday. When you ask the Chazan Ish, what's going to tell you?
Shabbos.
They say Shabbos. So this is the Chazan Ish Shita. So anyone have any idea the names of some of these islands here?
Alaska.
Why is
Alaska, Japan, New Zealand.
Alaska is the other. Right. The other. The two big places
Japan
here.
Japan and New Zealand.
These areas over here, which are islands past the line, but the islands are not part of the mainland.
Japan.
Japan's up here, okay? And another down here is New Zealand. All right? Those are the two big ones. Those are two potentially halakhically significant. You got a few others here, the American Samoa and whatever other ones you got there, but what does it really matter here are these two, Japan and New Zealand, okay? This is the view of the Chazan Ish. So therefore, according to the Chazan Ish, halakhically, Shabbos in Japan is actually on Sunday. Others disagreed with the Chazanish and said that, of course, there's a halachic dateline. No question about it. Where is the halachic dateline? Not 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim, but rather, Yerushalayim splits the world in half, kind of like Greenwich. And where's the halachic dateline? 180 degrees, all right? Which would put the dateline just past the Goyish dateline. All right? According to others, this is the view that was there. Anyone know who the Rav Plumtin Chazanish was? Tukhachinsky was his name. This is the Chavah, Bal Lachavah, Sefer Yesher Chaim, or Tukhachinsky, many other posts in Halakha as well. According to him, this is not the dateline, this is the correct dateline. And therefore, anything and everything up to this dateline is still part of what? Is still following Yerushalayim time, right? Why does this opinion cause trouble? Chazanish caused a lot of trouble for New Zealand.
It's a subject.
What did the second opinion raise a question? Anything where could be problematic now? Remember, according to the Goyim, this is the dateline. The middle, this is the international dateline.
In between the two.
Anything past here, any islands in here, according to the Goyim, are the day behind. But according to Rav Chukachinsky, they're still part of the Shabbos of Yerushalayim. Why, right? Anyone know some names of places in between the two lines? In the Croatian dateline of Tukhachinsky? Now you guys can say they want to say Hawaii, western coast of Alaska, some serious places, okay? So it turns out that you have really two different possibilities here. Okay? Two different sheets here. Let's see if we can get different places we got. So we got, we want to know, Rabbi, what day is Shabbos in Japan? Japan and New Zealand. New Zealand's the same Shaila. You want to know what day is the Shabbos in Hawaii, in the west of Alaska also, okay? So according to the Chazanish, what day is Shabbos in Japan?
Sunday.
What the Goyim call? Sunday. What day is Shabbos in Hawaii, according to the Chazanish?
Monday.
Shabbos.
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 Right?
Pass the line.
You couldn't pass the line. You passed the Goyish one and the Chazanish line. So you just sync with the Goyish
said. Isn't Japan also open
line? No, Japan is open to the Chazanish line, not open to the Goyish line. There are three lines. The Chazanish first, the Tukhachinsky the other end, and the Goyish line is in the middle. That's anything between these two lines is going to be a problem, anything between these two lines is going to be a problem. Depending on who you're asking. Okay? Yeah. So again, going to Chazanish, Shabbos, going to Chazanish, going to Shabbos in Hawaii. Right? Okay? Next, according to the Yesher Chaim, what's it going to be?
Saturday.
Japan, Saturday. What's it going to be in Hawaii?
Friday.
Right? Because the Goyim passed the line already, the Tukhachinsky didn't pass the line. So we have two potential lachlokes in there. Any third possibility?
And follow their line.
Right. Theoretically, that's a question. If you, let's say it's Monday, okay, and then Monday night, you cross the line, so now you're back at Sunday. Do you put on till anything, or you put on till
Sunday? Okay, so those are loaded, loaded questions. I'm not anywhere near even those questions yet. Those are loaded questions for the whole cell phone that is now. I just want to try to see if we could finalize the Shabbos part. That's the most important part is that someone's going with the Shabbos. Rabbi, of course, the date one. What's your Shayon going to say? Come on, give me a break. So we went with the most serious. The 12 Shabbos are most important. Let's see if we get this down.
Can you put on till twice on Sunday?
Yeah, let's take the Shabbos part. We'll get to the next part. Okay, any third possibility here by saying?
Father their line.
Father Goyish date line, you know why? Because there's no more Queen Shas, according to many Mishnah, for any of this. And therefore, whatever the Oilam gives up, Sheshim Tabak, Sisko Lachtechel. So if the Oilam views this as the seventh day of the week, that's a Lachli Kor, the seventh day of the week. Maybe no one said that. Of 2 pence of Frank. Okay, we went over 2 pence of Frank. We looked at the Post Mishalayan years ago. It's difficult to hard speak. So therefore, it's because the friend said, what day is it in Shabbos in Japan?
Shabbos, Saturday.
What day is Shabbos in Hawaii?
Saturday.
Anyone want to pass me another Shabbos?
Well,
Follow Rav, Safek Torah Isa V'Chumra.
So come some poskim and say the following shor, the following compromise, so to speak. So it's like a Ramahat, this following Jari. If you happen to be in Japan or New Zealand for Shabbos, the majority view seems to be that it's on Saturday. And therefore, the Ikar Adin, if you're in Japan for Shabbos, you should observe Shabbos on Saturday. However, the Chazanish is not somebody to make light of. Chazanish is a very, very serious posek, and therefore, Misafek, one should probably be knowing the Chumrah to keep Shabbos also on Sunday, at least concerning what?
Malachas.
Deraisa, we got Malachas. So, in terms of everything else, like should I daven for Shabbos, not for Shabbos on Saturday? Should I have to observe all these sort of mukzah and everything? Yeah, you can assume Saturday is probably for him. But lechumrah mi'almas, making the rice of chumrah, you should be machmir to follow the Chazanish's view, and therefore refrain from doing malach on Sunday as well. So
if that
means get a Tuesday Shabbos in Japan.
What about Kiddush?
Kiddush is a tricky one, okay? Kiddush is a very, very tricky one. We make all the things in Kiddush, but we also tricky one.
Can you make Kiddush just like having wine?
Well, we can't have a bracha, but you would probably tell you make a bit of a Kiddush Shabbos.
Why is the bracha not saying
anything about that? I mean, Torah is just with words alone, just so far. A lot of us, I would do the lie. Mikra is into it on Shabbos, but refrain from a bracha on Friday. Okay? So this is like, it's become almost like a very, very standard Shabbos. Many, many, many people say to follow this approach. Okay? So we're going to work. We're going to work with this approach for a little while. We're going to work with this approach right now. That we're going to be Ikra Din Shabbos Japan on Saturday, Chumra for Sunday, Hawaii the other way around. Okay. Let's see if we can work through some of the Shabbos. Let's get a little complicated. This is the easy one.
In 5 days in Hawaii would be if
the Yom Kippur Wednesday
there.
Oh, yeah, okay, again. Let's take the first shot, okay? Child calls me, he's going to Hawaii for Pesach. First thing I told him, she's going to Hawaii. But he actually told me he's going anyway, so he's going. He's in Hawaii for Pesach. So, in terms of Malacha, we just went through. What complicates this year? This year? The mitzvah, chizmatz. Chizmatz is a deraisa. We don't want to lose out that mitzvah. So, we have to think this. Let's get ahead. One day ahead. Which day, which night really, is Leil Tesfot Nisa in Hawaii? So, according to the Ikar Adin, we're assuming it's Saturday night. But according to the Yesh Rachayim, who we threw back, right, Friday, we observe Friday as potentially Shabbos, but it turns out that look, I mean, there is the Gudi Echelos Matzah, we should assume that Friday night is actually the first Seder night. So now the guy's a little bit of a pickle, why? But Rabbi should eat matzah, should not eat matzah. What would force him not to eat matzah now? That's what's eat matzah for Pesach, right? On the other hand, that is eating matzah for Pesach, like the most most, which we included, only begins in the morning of the 14th. That's the Ikar Din. Everything else is not mentioned. Therefore, when it comes to the mitzvah of the Arayis of Achilas Matzah, he is compelled to eat a kazayi. He dafka has to eat a kazayi of matzah on Friday. Everyone else is trying to figure out how to eat challah, the egg matzah, and a kutzah. This guy, I'm telling him, you're mechuyev to eat Friday night. I'll be cheshish for the mitzvah of the Arayis of Achilas Matzah. It's a really, really strange thing. This guy is making Kiddush on Friday night. Which Kiddush is he making? He's not making the other Kiddush really because we don't really think about Kiddush. The other part of the maybe. We're telling him to make a Kiddush for Shabbos. You can't make them both. It's not both. Right?
I mean,
it's not Shabbos and the other together. It can't be. So he's making a Shabbos to get Kiddush and he's going to eat matzah. Would I tell him to make an avracha to his matzah? No chance. What did I tell him to do about the rest of the Seder?
Not say,
why?
What would you say if we do about the rest of the Seder? So again, the Pesach is only their ice is the Afri Machmer, so therefore, what would I tell them to do? Morav is Man of the Aglav. It's only their Abonim. Dalak Kais is only their Abonim. Kaira, you don't even know that. Oh, Sikh Tzitz, that's right. But for Sikh Tzitz, I'm not to say the whole Haggadah. So I told him to say the following. It's him and his wife. I told him, sit down, eat a meal, make Kiddush. Sing to your wife, the father, but you don't find from Israel. Whatever the bare minimum of the Haggadah is. And then wash, make kabotzi, have a kezayis of matzah, without an alachilas matzah. Then you can continue to eat the rest of your meal, which cannot be what?
Chametz.
Cannot be chametz. Okay, that was the first job. Okay, so that stop is given in deference to this off because of this convoluted scenario.
I had a lot of
potato
kolom during the day.
What was that shadow? What next shadow? What about the second shadow?
Coral reef.
Coral reef. Where did you get the coral reef? What was the problem with coral reef? Guys in Australia, right? Guys in Australia. So coral bodies in Australia, we're assuming that according to the non-Chazanish people, it's for sure. It's for Sunday morning, it's not Sunday morning. But according to the Chazanish, in Australia proper, on the mainland of Australia, it's considered to be Sunday. But the minute you get off the coast, you're now in the water, so then it reverts back to be what? The Shabbos. Does that happen? Does that phenomenon exist? Can you walk into Shabbos? Does that concept exist? The guy wasn't, when he started off the day, when Kedusha Shabbos began in this location, he wasn't here. The Imam just rolled into Shabbos. Does that concept exist?
Isn't that also a question about like let's say in the United States you can walk 1 hour forward and then you enter Shabbos?
No, that really happened that way. Wherever you are, it's going to be wherever you are.
But like if Shabbos starts at 5, then like at 4:30 you walk.
Unless you're flying faster than the sun.
No, you can walk fly past, like a time zone.
No. The time zone is a fake. The time zone just tells us what time on our clocks. The sun, whether it's Eastern Standard Time or Daylight Savings Time, or whether it all depends on the sun, it doesn't really depend on what's at 8 o'clock. So everybody said, what's the difference? Can a person walk into Shabbos? So the rush, in the end of the sentence, might not close to Shabbos, but not about crossing into the coral reefs of Australia. Why is the din that if a child turns bar mitzvah in the middle of Shabbos, how that happens is also complicated. But the converse of the favorite, if a child turns bar mitzvah in the middle of Shabbos, he becomes a mitzvah, he's in there, and keep Shabbos. Ask the rush why. He wasn't around, he wasn't high in Shabbos item, the rush says. Every second of Shabbos is a new mechayev. The fact that you have to keep Shabbos at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, not because yesterday was an hour ago, it was 1 o'clock. Every second of Shabbos is a new little series, a new mechayev, and a simple loch. And you can pick up Shabbos right smack in the middle. According to that, if you can pick up Shabbos in the middle, what else would probably make sense? You can
leave Shabbos.
You can leave Shabbos. It would be easy come, easy go. So it would be a strange thing. Let's say, as the guy started Shabbos in the water.
Can you skip Shabbos completely?
So they dancing that before. The guy started Shabbos in the water, they come back onto the mainland, so we just lost Shabbos. So bottom line is I told these people not to go into the coral reef on Sunday, because by going into this boat off the coast, possible they walked out of Shabbos. But they weren't possibly walked into Shabbos. Now they're both in Shabbos. That's not a good place to be. However, it's not 100% clear. This idea that Chazanish said that it kind of hugs the coast. What does that mean exactly? Let's say a guy goes to the beach. A guy goes to the beach, he's going swimming on Sunday in Australia. Right? He goes into the water, so that's right at the end of the coast, like are the territorial waters, like the international laws, and how far your coastline goes. It's very unclear, but where exactly is this line? Very, very funny, very, very strange.
And this the logic about Shabbos also applies to the Barbington way out of zero?
Not necessarily. It's a different point. They are starting to go they have a cleaned up the pot people. It's not exactly the not necessarily.
If the point of hugging the coast is because it can't possibly be dividing such a continent, could it be that it's farther away than
right, people right, right. Again, it's very unclear. There's no source, there's no more of it. Very, very, very. Okay. So What was that third? What was the third challenge? 5 days. Give me the 5 day riddle.
You guys, they got a busy Monday, Thursday. Then you have in Hawaii. Then you've got to be coaches. Then you have to play on Tuesday.
No, they do the 5. Oh, then the Friday is 5. Right. So the scenario that I that someone actually was talking about was the other one at New Zealand. In New Zealand, the other. And it was, the other was Wednesday, Thursday, something. So they did Wednesday, Thursday, then Friday, and then they did Shabbos. It's not very, very strange. Okay. Good. So by saying, let's just flesh out this topic a little bit. It's a wild, crazy issue. Anyone know when the Shiloh really, really emerged in Klal Yisrael? What the historical background was? What was it? You know, it was the pre-Shiloh Hartzibach. It was the Mir Yeshiva. What happened was, is that when the men in the Mir Yeshiva, and the Lodi Yeshiva, was also able to get these crazy, it's a whole story in itself, for now, you get these crazy transit visas going across Siberia, into Japan, and it's supposed to leave Japan and go to some Dutch island in the middle of the ocean or something. Hopefully, it was an old sham, an old forest. But there's a couple of protests that they were able to get these crazy visas that saved hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people's lives. So they, whole group of Yeshiva ended up, before they got to Shanghai, they ended up in a place called Kobe, Japan. Kobe City, Japan. And when they got there, so they realized that it's a big trap that they're in Shiloh. What are you supposed to do? So the Pesach was pretty much, they were not with the both, different opinions exactly what to do. And the Shiloh went on like this for several months until they reached ahead. You know when they reached ahead? Yep. Kippur, if you're going to have to fast all day, it's going to be really dangerous. So they sent two telegrams. They sent the telegram about the Chazanish. Was an extraordinary time. They sent the telegram to the Rebbe. See, Shabbat also sent a shout to the Rebbe. In turn, sent it to the Chayim. So the bottom line is, they got that kind of thing. That one telegram said they should observe Yom Kippur on the following day, because it is measured. Another said to record the day that the locals in Japan. So there were different different things that were going on that particular year. But the good news was that it only lasted 1 year. The following year, already the Japanese government dumped them into Shanghai, which is in China already, which was already on the mainland, and that was the end of the story. So then they just went back, reverted back to normal. Okay, so right, so we get a little bit of understanding as to what was going on in terms of the day one Shiloh. So some of you mentioned the past week. You have other Shilohs related to the date line, not as serious, but also important Shilohs. In terms of the good film, the davening, of course, the daylight spirits, all of them, all of the above, and they're very, very hard challenges. Many poskim assume that even if a person technically crossed the date line, but tachlis, he didn't see a new sunrise, he didn't see a new sunset, so he's still covered by the day mitzvahs of what he did. If I put on tefillin this morning, and it has not yet gotten dark, and then the sun has not yet risen again, so then I don't have to go be one. It's not really my ability. To get that loaded shayla, get the details of that just for us. Okay, any other shaylas related to this wild black haired dilemma? So she'll do a related topic. It's not as exciting as daylight, but it touches additional time zones. And it's a fairly, fairly common shaila. It comes up every year on Erev Pesach. And it's Erev Pesach. And it's Erev Pesach. Let's say Erev Pesach for example. So let's say I'm going to be in New York for Pesach. I have an apartment. I have a partner in Rechavia. And my partner in Rechavia stopped with food. And I want to know, Rabbi, at what point do I have to get rid of the chametz in Rechavia? What's my shayla? Do I follow the issue of my rabbi? Let's say follow the gaver, the person. So for me, I'm 7 hours behind. So I'm sitting in New York, sitting in Dinah, and it's not yet the zman that is my rabbi. But my chametz is sitting in a place which is ready, subject to the rules of my rabbi. Maybe that is more comprehensive than we may have been suffering this year. The din is that if the chametz becomes also by law, you cannot sell it anymore. not shy to sell it anymore. When does somebody say, don't want to survive? No, no, no. So I'm doing a Torah and Chatzos, and with the Rabbanon, even now, say approximately 11:30 or so in the morning, whatever it is. Maybe at this year it's more complicated because it wasn't going to be $1. A regular year, let's say our base is on a Wednesday. First Saturday is going to be Wednesday night. So Arab Pesach is going to be on a Wednesday. So at 11:30 in the morning, Wednesday time, I have to make sure I sold my chometz already. Problem is, I live in New York. I'm going to my rabbi in New York, and I have chometz in Rechavia. So by the time I get around to sign that chometz, it's already what? It's already 6:30 in the evening. It could be it's already after dark. Even if it's not technically after dark, it's well after the Zman HaYisr. And therefore, the sale of Michal is evolved. What do you do? What do you do? So, the Chora, it depends on Islam, the Shushan. Does the Yisr by Rabbi Monsi follow the Gavra? Does it follow the Chetza? Does it follow the person? And therefore, for the person, it's not your face, and therefore, you can still sell the Chometz. But do you say the Chometz is in a Moko, where it's subject to Rabbi Monsi, and therefore, it's a problem? So, what we do is we encourage anybody who owns chametz in locations further east to make sure that they tell that to the rabbi beforehand. But we actually run it in a separate mechiras chametz, an earlier mechiras chametz, and that helps all the people who have chametz further east. They should be part of that early mechiras chametz that takes place the night before, and therefore well before the zman of chametz. But sometimes you have the other way around, Shiloh. What's the opposite, Shiloh? Let's say a guy lives in New York and he has some chametz in California. Well, let's say he has chametz in New York, but he happens to be visiting California to be honest. So when does he get around to a problem? If he sells his chametz in New York and he goes to California to be yomtiv, what's going to be his problem? When the rabbi buys back the chametz in his behalf, right after yomtiv, the guy's still sitting at the meeting and having his niyos achag or something. It's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So how in the world is that going to work? So if you hold that all that matters is where the chametz is, that's great. But if you hold more than that, it's where the person is. That's a huge, huge problem. So what can we possibly do to solve that problem? Any ideas?
Sell before.
I want to buy it back.
How
do I do that? The rabbis have to buy back and be separate. Once he's got to put his house together, once I have time for me. What can you possibly do? Any ideas?
Make a condition of the sale.
Oh, you can do what?
Like a condition of the sale.
Oh, so not so much a condition of the sale, you can put a delay mechanism on the sale.
Maybe you can sell it to another Jew.
Okay, so we see different options. And so one good option is that you can put a delay mechanism on the sale. There's a whole sugya that says condition about this. Let's say a person wants to get married. You want to give a ring to a girl, and they don't want to get married yet. They're married about 3 months from now, but they want to just, you know, right now they have a ring, you know, they're busy. Be busy 3 months from now. They want the condition to be chal the day after graduation from college. Parents of the Yankee rabbi so they graduate, so they're going to have a ceremony in April. The condition should be chal in June. Can you do that? Absolutely. That's what's called the kinyan la'acha shleshim yayin. Kinyan la'acha z'man. Kinyan la'acha z'man is a valid mechanism in halacha most of the time. So too in mechiras, I can sell you something. I'll go to the ma'aseh kinyan now, with the understanding that it's not going to take hold, it's not going to take effect until after a certain given day. So what you can do is, with certain cases, like this. The rabbi has the goy come to his house, right after you the rabbi says this, I want to buy back all the chametz for all the balabatim who live in New York today, right now, 9 o'clock at night, but for my few balabatim, I got one of them in Chicago, I got one of them in Denver, I got one of them in California, I got one in Hawaii, who's either further east or further west, and everything but the last part of this year. I have balabatim throughout the Dalit campus arts. I want to arrange with you, Mr. Non-Jew, that the sale of the chometz should take hold, the sale back should take hold when? Whenever it gets dark, then that given location. That's a kin of the after Shlosh Yom, and that's acceptable. That's what we do. My Zlomo Mai, that's what we do. However, even that poses a problem. You know what the problem is? They're always a problem. What's the problem with the stores? The night of the year, the biggest business of all pizza stores is when? It's a pizza. But somebody once said, a not Jewish person who saw all the men rush for the pizza stores, and they thought that the Jews don't eat for a week. They thought they might be fast food and rubbish. And now they're finding many elusive. So little do they know, we've been eating nonstop. We all gained 30 pounds this past week. We've been eating so much cake and nonsense. So, every day, so I got it after I started patience. I didn't. So I walked after I took it. The guy said, if you're going on a date, if you're at a minute, you're going to make up dollar. It's okay, it's not beer. Wine is also going to make up dollar. Wine, raw, helps with things. Now, first of all, beer, some people haven't had beer for weeks, so they want the beer. Not that anyone under the age of drinking should have a beer. The grass sets the oil of like the beer, so it's warmer in there. And then the other reason the grass said is that you want to have comments right after the yom is over to show everybody that what? The reason why we're refraining from chametz is we don't like it, we love chametz. We're refraining from chametz because the Rambam says, don't eat chametz. So once chametz, one place is over, we run to the chametz. So everyone wants to be very machmir for that dinner gra, so they want to make sure to eat the pizza the second that yontif is over. Problem is, we had a shot a couple of years ago that the owner of one of the pizza stores, Dina, was going to California for yontif.
Steps off the water.
So we can't make a conditional sale. Right? We can't say, well, we're going to go through the motions now, and you'll only be zocha on the pizza, on the dough, and everything else that's in the freezer. You'll only be zocha on it at 9 o'clock at night, your time, because then how in the world are we going to open out? We've got one, let's go to the garden. Until the sale takes effect. So that's my gazelle. It may be worse than the gazelle. The Rav held that if you sell chametz to a goy, then you go take the chametz yourself. Not only are you a gazel, but you're what else you are. You just showed that all the was a joke, all the was a sham, all the wasn't true. There's a big machlokes with Moshe and the Rav years ago about very openly done. It's not from store owners. They wanted to do the mechiras chametz because they wanted the Jews to buy for the mitzvah Pesach, but they didn't want to close the sauce. They didn't want to put away the chametz pizza. They would sell the chametz to the goy. It was business as usual. They would just make money off the chametz. So Moshe said they guys wanted. The guys wanted it, the chametz is still wonder afterwards because it's chametz shel goy. And the Rav said, no, but that guy's wonder. The goy knows that the whole joke, the whole machine was a joke to them. The whole thing was never really done in Greece does. So over here, the last thing we want to do is let this pizza store open up with the chametz that belongs to the guy. That's an option. On the other hand, we can't have the chametz be purchased back by the Jew in California, the Shiloh, the buyer of it. Well, what do we do? And he ate this, what do we have? What do you do?
Maybe when there's a Jew that owns like a company that operates on Shabbos, so he transfers ownership just for Shabbos. So maybe we can.
So what are you doing here? So here we don't want to transfer to a guy. We have a great idea.
To a Jew.
So what we're going to do is like this. Before Pesach starts, let's bump out the owner of the pizza store again. But the owner of the pizza store sell the entire store to who? Some Jews living in Dina. And then he'll sell it with his chametz, and then he'll buy it back with his chametz the minute the yontif is over. And he'll open up the pizza store. And technically, according to pure din imamunus, which is halacha, we should get all the profits from all that pizza.
You should, yeah.
The guy did it, right? But he's not going to be a numbers guy. He'll end up giving it back to his friend to get all the pizza store. We'll give him all the profits, and we'll sell back the pizza store. Talk a fucking night. Shalom, Israel. So we have to come with all kinds of kunsim because of these datelines, these times of crazy shadows. So again, the olden days, nobody knew about these things, nobody cared about these things, nobody dealt with these things. We were mood shadows. But as far as that, you get the wild, craziest shadows. I have not yet gotten the shadows. I've met it theoretically, but I haven't gotten it practically yet. I don't know whether there's no going to get to the shadows. That's the shadows of regular people, not time zone issues and not daylight shadows. One step worse than that.
Outer space.
Outer space shadows. What happened to that? So nobody has yet answered that shadow.
Shadows make a lot. Shadows
make a lot. It's a guy who will lay down. So I told him.
The international space doesn't have every 90 minutes.
So what happens? What happens in third space? What's going on? So, conceptually, there are really three different possibilities. Which one's right? Conceptually, two possibilities. One possibility, this was a real shot back in the 1960s. It was like the moon, so it was fairly excited in the shadow. Came kind of a good shot, but nobody actually really went up except astronauts. So, some post people argue that, of course, it's just annoying in space. Like, why not? Like, you need training for space. So, for sure. You actually really do some leisure to say, so, you have to run a spaceship, you can't rely on your system. You don't want to bomb. You don't want to come to say anything. I think that's not space. You know, two mitzvahs, not a recipe for two mitzvahs in space. But mitzvahs are smart, you know, to keep. I can give Shabbos. I can give Yom. The halakha definition of Shabbos means Shabbos is Yom Tov for 6 days. And space, the whole concept of day doesn't mean anything. So there are some places who said that the mitzvahs are smart, forget about space. They're the bomb. And others said, no, they're still there. And whose man do you follow?
Where you came from.
So you took off from Cape Canaveral, you took off from Houston, wherever you took off from, that's your Zman space. Why should that be so? I don't know. And there was one place they could say, you know, maybe you don't have to keep mitzvahs altogether. So the Gemara condition says that, how do you know you have to keep mitzvahs altogether? The Torah speaks about the mitzvahs as well. So the Torah also says, whenever you're on the ground, whenever you're landing, you're on the ground, you have to keep mitzvahs. So someone to say, if you're not on the ground, you have to keep mitzvahs. That doesn't mean that you're on a plane. It doesn't mean you jump in the air. You jump in the air and get flushed around and land down. You're a mufka from the gravity of this world and the atmosphere of this world. So maybe it opens again. This is science fiction. The real shadows, the daylight shadows, the time zone shadows are real shadows. Today, maybe someday the science fiction shadows will be real also. But right now, I can't share too many of the rabbis. That's what I'm spending much time. Okay, it was up. Enough for now. It's just one.
Is a person allowed to fly over Harvard?
Rav says about Yagas and Elias when he's got you.
Take care. What about on other planets?